What is going on, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in to the very first episode of the Ide and Myers Download Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Ide, your other host.
And I'm Blake Myers over here.
So, Blake, we finally got this podcast thing going here. You know, you just kind of brought it up earlier that you had some radio experience. I mean, obviously, I do too. But I had no idea you had radio experience.
Yeah, we've done since I was 12. 12 or 13 around that timeline. Been doing like radio ads for my dad's business and stuff, and did that for about 6 years. So
that's insane. Like, yeah. I here I am, like I'm your friend, and I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do it all through high school, all through like parts of middle school, and did a couple here and there after high school, but for the most part, it was mostly through high school. And you hear it on the bus going to school every morning, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's Blake! Oh my god!"
See, that was gonna be my next question. Did anybody like actually like recognize your voice on the radio and actually come up and talk to you?
Oh yeah, like people. There were numerous people because like they started. We knew the time slot that we had, mm-hmm. which was usually it was like 1 a.m. I think when we went to school, and then there was one when we were leaving to go home.
So you had like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Then like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. It was 7 or 8.
It was like 7 or 8 a.m.
Because high school would be like earlier.
And then you had one at night where it was like around 3:30 when the buses would like leave to go take everybody back home. And people would, it was mostly during the afternoon whenever people finally figured it out. So they would time the slot and they'd be like, "Oh my gosh, it's Blake. Oh my gosh." And then it was cool for the most part there for the first couple of years. And then after that, it was mostly like, "Oh, you do that for your dad? Oh, okay."
All right, guys. So, literally, the story... Okay, so like, the shock that I'm having here is... Blake and I'm sitting here thinking, as you just told me this, like, literally, like, 30 minutes before we just started recording this episode.
Yeah.
You told me. And I'm just like, wait a minute. I think back to, like, freshman year, and I'm like, you know, I played football with this guy during our lunch period.
Yeah.
And been friends since then. That's what, like 2009. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I never knew this. Like, this is crazy. This is news to me.
I just kind of at this point figured it was common sense because a lot of people even now they still kind of like, you used to do radio stuff for your dad, and mostly like older people and like adults and stuff, they would recognize it after a certain point. But it kind of got to the point where I was like, okay, I figured everybody was aware, but I guess not.
I had no idea. But I can't really remember like hearing. I can't remember. That's the golden word.
Concussion.
I can't really recall the any ads for your dad's business. You know, when I would, because I remember our bus driver, she obviously had the radio station. She had like multiple radio stations going on for each day of the week. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember like hearing anything, but now that I actually know who you are, I can recognize your voice. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure if I listen to it now, you know, on the radio, I'll be like, "God, that's Blake Myers, that's my friend."
It was usually on I can't remember what radio station it was. It was like Froggy, what was it, like 99 or something like that? I can't remember.
It was a Froggy 99
or Froggy something. It was on the Bear a couple times, I think.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'm not exactly positive. It was the radio broadcasting station that's across the river in like right before we or not before we son.
Like it's right before Vienna.
Yeah.
On the left hand side.
Yeah,
that's 107 WNUS.
Yeah.
102. That's the iHeart radio station.
Yep, that was it. That was where we did ours.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
really awesome. We had some fun times. So
well, that's awesome, man.
It was good.
You know, and so obviously you've had your radio experience,
yeah.
And I've had mine. I worked at one of the local radio stations in Marietta.
Yeah, well, you were mostly on the technical end. I was more on like the speech, talking, radio voice kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I didn't take over, or I shouldn't say take over. I didn't really get into like the talking and speeching until talking and speeching. English, I gotta learn English. But I didn't really get into like the talking and on air talent stuff until like later in my year at WMOA. Mm-hmm. But you know, there was a lot of stress into making these ads. And we just made one here not too long ago for our podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, how many takes did we do? Seven?
We did
eight.
We did eight. And, I mean, and that's how it works, too. Like, even with my, like, on whatever, like, my past experience and stuff like that, is they literally handed you a script. And we divvied up whose lines were going when. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would always take the first line and start it off from the, like, right off the top. And then it'd be my brother, me. And then my dad would do the punchline at the end. And then the on-air guy, like the radio spokesman or however you want to call it.
The on-air talent.
Yeah, the on-air talent would do the plug at the end, like call 374-6000 for pizza and da-da-da-da, like that kind of thing. And we would divvy up the lines equally between all of us. And then if dad jumped in it every so often, then we would cut the lines there out and give him a couple lines. And it was rough. There were days where you would come in, because we used to do them, like, right after school sometimes.
Right.
And we would go in on, hell, we would do it on, like, a Thursday or, like, a Wednesday or, hell, even a Monday. And we would go in, and you could sit there for 20 minutes working on one line or one section of, like, one little piece of that script because the audio level wasn't right or you sneezed or something or somebody in the background made a noise or something along that line. And it just got to the point where you just kind of get used to waiting and making sure everything's perfect before you submit that line.
The one thing that I learned in radio, and you kind of like it, you hit it right there, was when I would record like my racing show that would cover like NASCAR and local dirt track racing, was you it had to be perfect. It had to be. You know, you have a little more leeway when you record a show because you want it to sound more relaxed.
It's more natural. It's more off, not like off kilter, but it's more along lines of like
you're not following an exact script.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things I learned was time crunching.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, that was my biggest trouble, and I had a couple conversations with the owner at WMOA, Johnny Wharf,
mm-hmm.
about time crunching, because I had 4 minutes to get this show in. It was on ESPN radio stations locally.
That's cool.
And it was at the 5 o'clock hour.
Wow, so that's like right after like everybody gets off work and
yeah,
that's big. That's a big time slot right there.
And how this like all came about was I just literally, a month into working there, I just presented him with an idea. I recorded it like a demo, kind of.
Yeah.
Told him, you know, this is what I want to do. Like, this is, because at the time I was only the one producing. Like you said, I was on the more technical side of things.
Yeah.
And I just recorded this demo. Got some interview cuts from the NASCAR media website, and just gave it to him. He's like, "Well, let me talk to the sales guy. I like it. We'll see if he'll sell." It did. It obviously did, but he wanted more local stuff, so I had to add more local stuff in.
Oh yeah.
So I was covering NASCAR and all the dirt track series, all NASCAR top three series, the trucks and all that. And I had to crunch this all in 4 minutes, and I had 2 30-second commercials. So
what?
Yeah, 2 30-second commercials. So that was like took
that's
another.
Already, and, that's already a minute taken out of the entire thing. So
exactly.
Instead of having 4 minutes, you had three with an entire minute of
and it was
fucking
tough.
Commercials.
Exactly, and it was tough. And I told Johnny, I'm like, I cannot find where I need to. And he just gave me a lot of good pointers. And probably, because it aired every Monday and Friday, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I just got to hit the most important points. A lot of times, I couldn't get everything that I wanted to do.
And then you have to sacrifice some things.
Exactly. And it took probably like 2 months before I actually got the timings down right.
Yeah.
And it was flowing more fluential. But like you said, it had to be perfect. Like it just, you can't run over.
Mm.
You can't run under.
You can run under, but it looks bad.
You could, but it's going to have, it wouldn't have, in my case, dead air time. Because ESPN runs on an automatic thing for them. So,
yeah, they run continuous loop and stuff.
Yeah, ESPN handles their own stuff.
Yeah, they just put a break for that 4 minute window.
Exactly, exactly.
And then
so,
if you run over, well, that's a no-no. But if you run under, I mean, it's only like milliseconds of dead air, which won't kill anybody.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know how they work.
Well, or if it was under, it would trigger automatically the ESPN.
For them to pick up. Yeah. Okay.
So, like, this ESPN recorded show or whatever would come on and whatever. But, like you said, though, if you ran over, you're cutting into ESPN.
And therefore,
ESPN and ABC will be like, sorry. No.
Pull the plug.
So, but I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
And I told you I recorded a lot of PSAs. I couldn't think of...
he couldn't remember what a PSA was for about 5-10 minutes.
I knew what it was, but I just couldn't get the words out. And I told Blake, I'm like, public, and I probably looked like everything in my head was just frying. And then Blake's like, public service announcement. I'm like, yes!
He looked like a deer in a headlight. He was like kind of sitting there at his son, like, I don't know what this is. My brain's kind of fried. I don't know what to say.
It's like that deer on that movie, Peter Rabbit.
Never seen it.
You never seen it? Oh my gosh. Okay, so there's this deer, and every time he jumps out in front of a car with headlights, he just looks at him, you know, the deer in a headlight look.
Yeah.
Headlights. Headlights. And then you get like one of the other animals like, it's okay, buddy. Just come on. Come on, don't pay no attention to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
It's like the dog in Up whenever he's sitting there rambling on and then he goes squirrel and he sits there with his dead look in that direction and then he goes back to the conversation.
And that was totally like me. I think maybe you may have had the issue when we were recording that ad that we have. So
I'm not even gonna lie. That ad, it was like the wording and how you constructed it was great. It was just like
executing.
Executing part was the problem. Like just getting the words to come out of my mouth was like molasses pouring out of a jar. It was terrible. Like I couldn't get my mouth to say what I wanted it to say, but I could see it. That's and I was like, come on, just say the fucking word.
It's just like right there on the end of your tongue, you're just like dah, 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 and then
cut.
Well, that was like me. I couldn't say distribute, and
listenership.
I still gotta say it. And listenership, yes. You guys will get to hear the ad here.
You'll get to hear that
here in a few minutes.
Our lovely voices talking about Anchor and how wonderful it is because it is a good app. I give them credit; it's pretty good.
Yeah, this is literally that's how we're making our podcast. And you know, I know we're about to tell you how great it is here in about in a few minutes.
However long it takes, but
you know. When I was showing Blake this app, like I appreciated the app a little bit more because Blake genuinely looked intrigued by this app. So, and it does take a lot for Blake to get intrigued by something. Actually, intrigued, like to really impress Blake, you really, really got to go to the lengths.
You got to show me a little something, something. Like you got to show me something to get a little bit intrigued. Like don't get the wrong impression here, but I mean, like you got to show me something worth my while in order to get me to like. Exactly. Show some interest here.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting here showing him this app, and he's just like, "Oh, okay."
You've got like the section where you can do like intro music, and then you've got like whenever you're doing the ad for the ad slot, you can put like background music to it and stuff like that, and then you can just go there and look through different stuff. Hell, we even went through there. We found your intro, the cow one.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
And then me, the goat, meh. And I'm just, oh my God.
Oh man.
This is joy.
It's good. I'm telling you, this app is so, so cool. So if you are looking to start a podcast, and you know, it's all free.
Yeah.
You know, it's got so many cool little features. It may take a day or two to actually sit there and play around with it, get a feel for it.
Yeah.
But they give you everything you need to get a good start.
And the good part about it too is like with other places that you do like podcasting and stuff. You have to distribute your own material.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to, you can use, they strictly were like, okay, you can use the app, this app to record, mess around with all the sound and stuff like that, but we're not distributing the audio or any of, like, the music with it. You have to export it off and then import it back onto a, like, Google Podcast site or, like, a Spotify site or something along that line. And that's what's good about this is you can just do it right here.
Yep.
And then you were telling me earlier that if, say, you're here, like you're at your house or whatever, and I'm somewhere else, and we have a good internet connection, you can just do it across the internet and podcast and do a recording with the both of us in two separate locations.
Yeah, or your cellular connection as well. So, and that's one thing I was telling about Blake, or telling Blake about, is, you know, like he said, you know, if we're in two different spots, or, you know, if you have a podcast where you're wanting to do with somebody else, they can't be in the same place. Or if Blake, for whatever reason, goes on vacation and I'm here, or I go on vacation or whatever, you can do it almost like a phone call, almost like a like a chat, and you can record that audio that you guys have. And it sounds almost exactly the same.
It's exactly like how they do it on ESPN. Almost dead.
The interviews.
When they do the interviews over the phone and stuff like that, it's the same way. It's obviously not to that degree of the quality's still great,
right?
But it's not intricately woven in to be a live feed.
And I don't think the audio doesn't even sound like it's being recorded over a phone. It actually sounds like the person is right there with you.
Yeah, for sure.
So definitely check out the Anchor app if you're if you're looking to get started in podcasting. So, but anyways, this little adventure of ours is this is something that
this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, we've done a project before together. We streamed a little bit on Twitch.
We did some YouTube stuff. We dabbled in that a little bit. A
little bit.
Yep. And I mean, we've got a pretty strong internet presence.
Yeah.
But I mean, more sporadic in the timeline. But...
Yeah, I tell you though, I Blake and I have we have constantly revisited our days of streaming board game play on Twitch in front of some of our coolest viewers, and I tell you, we even made friends with some of them. I'm friends with a couple of them. I think you are as well.
I haven't talked to a lot of them recently, but I mean, I still have. One guy on there still.
Yeah, so it was a cool moment. And you know what? We learned about board games that we didn't even know about.
Oh yeah.
We both
got the one game that we said we were gonna get.
Yep.
And never got, but got it after the stream.
Yeah, after the
ended.
Yeah, and it was. I think that was a little bit more. It's a little frustrating. It's Gloomhaven.
Yeah.
And
that's one game that we set from the get go that we were gonna play. And then we were going to do it on stream so that everybody could watch it and enjoy it. And then it just kind of never happened. And I was like, I think it was kind of like one of those heartbreaking moments. It was like that first...
Cue the Titanic theme song.
Yeah. Or I can't really do it. The Titanic theme song with the dude playing...
My heart will
playing,
go on.
My heart will go on, but it's the dude playing it really, really off fucking key. It's like... Yeah. But Gloomhaven was probably the... And you and I both played it together and individually.
Yeah.
And it would have been a very good stream game.
Oh, no
doubt.
It would
have been great.
No doubt. And we streamed, I think probably one of our best games that we streamed, other than Talisman.
Other than the Halloween special. Do not relive that one.
The Halloween special was a lot of fun.
Oh my God. We still have, I can't even talk about it.
We don't even have the actual stream footage. I wish we did.
Yes, I wish I would have kept that.
But we did it. We do have a picture from when we did it. It was so great though.
Man. Just in case so you guys aren't aware and you haven't seen the picture or can't see it. Long story short, I dressed up as Black Widow, and it was flawless.
If you guys want to see it, we do have a Facebook page for our podcast.
We'll put it on there.
Yeah, the Iden Myers the Iden Myers download. Just look it up on Facebook. Hopefully, you'll be able to see it. You'll see our logo that's used on our Anchor app and across the platforms. Anyways, you'll see it, and then the picture will be on there. I should definitely make it our cover photo.
It's so scary.
Even though Christian ain't a part of this podcast with us, but
I mean, you could crop it, but I mean. Still, it's scary.
You can't crop out a Jack Black Joker.
No. You can't crop out the Jack Black.
No.
Because he's scary. It's scary accurate.
Yeah, I know. Because he's sitting there, head down. He's looking at the camera, and you're just like...
And it looks like Jack Black.
Yeah. Jack Black as Joker.
Yes.
If you want to see it, go
on. You
gotta
look at that picture. Dead serious, no joke. It's scary... scary accurate.
And Christian was a lot of fun to have on our streams. Mm-hmm. He was he looked like Jack Black. He literally does look like Jack Black. He looked like he was picked out of Jack Black's ass. Because
literally.
It's that identical.
It's almost like that his dad was Jack Black, and then you just never told him.
Yes.
And you just kind of you need to go find this guy or talk to this guy, because he literally is your father.
And Christian, yeah, he was... The three personalities that we had on the streaming was just perfect. It just flowed.
Christian had that dry, statistical humor, and then then there was us.
Then there was us. And that's what I told Blake before we started this podcast was, like, him and I sitting down conversating. I would love to be a person on the outside listening because our conversations, they get just so...
They're just so, like, out in left field.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like my daughter was sitting over there on the couch earlier. She was listening, and she looked at us, and she's like, are you guys crazy? Is that what she said?
She said, you're weird.
Yeah, you're weird. Yeah, she just bluntly said, you're weird. As she's sitting there with headphones on watching Netflix, she looks over at us, you're weird.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, and that's like one of the things, that's another thing that I kind of like wonder sometimes is like, what do people really think when we talk to each other? What is going on?
Well,
or what they're thinking, like, you guys got a couple screws loose, or there's a couple Fruit Loops missing out of the whole box.
You guys are a couple screwdrivers short of a full toolbox.
Yep. But we're definitely a couple nuts. In that toolbox that we call a friendship.
Yes. But I'll tell you, you know what, though? Us two is great. I'll tell you, I really, really, you know, really enjoy this friendship with Blake. But we're also going to be adding my brother into this mix, you know, here shortly.
And that's another good mix to the group, too.
Yes, and, you know, because he really, really, he actually did a little bit of YouTube himself for a little while.
Is he still doing that, or did he end up pulling the plug on it?
No, he pulled the plug on it temporarily. I talked to him today about it. I think he wants to get back into it. And when he comes and joins us, we'll have him talk about it a little bit more.
Because, man, if he would have done a blog, like a vlog session while he was in Cali this weekend, or this past week, that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
That would have been a good kickstart right there to come back.
That would have been.
That would have been a great kickstart.
I never thought about that.
Especially with him and Eric in the car and how monotone and like
Eric is. Oh my God. We have to get Eric on this show. I swear, we gotta have everybody listen to Eric.
Eric is so monotone that it's scary.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody as monotone as Eric.
And he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, and it's nothing against
him.
And when he does,
he has these funny ass one-liners.
Yeah. It's all like those one-line like knife to the gut, and you're just like, damn, where did that come from?
And, I mean, he'll show emotion on his face.
But it's not in his voice.
Yeah, it's not. There's none in his voice. Like, there's none.
Think of, like, what is it, the teacher off of Snoopy? It's like, wah, 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 wah.
Yes.
That, literally to a fucking T.
I can't wait till we try to get him on the show, because it's going to be
If we can get him on here and get him to talk, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Or just even just to speak just a little bit.
Like, everybody, here's Eric. What's up, guys?
Hi, guys.
What's up, guys? It's gonna be like flatline.
Where's the cat?
Meow.
Meow.
All right, Blake. So, but yeah, kind of reverting back here to the streaming. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And now here we are doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. Just when Blake asked me, or when I presented the idea to him, he asked me what's it gonna be on?
Yeah.
I said, literally, let's just sit down and bullshit. Let's just talk about something.
Because why should we have a set topic line of what to go off of? And I mean, and that's where I kind of, I guess, fall short in some cases. Because I always go by a certain point, hit points.
Yeah.
And doing this and in this sort of a fashion, I think, breaks me of that habit. And it's a lot better. And I think it flows better either way. Because we're not having to constantly cut a conversation short to go to another topic. We can just keep just talking.
Exactly. And I feel like it's just a nice, relaxed environment.
Yeah.
The streaming was that as well, but you also had to make sure you didn't look dumb, you know?
Yeah. And that's a good thing about podcasting, too, is like you guys won't be able to see us, but we still look ugly as shit.
Yeah.
And we still look as goofy as shit. So, I mean, at least you don't have the torture of looking at this.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, God forbid, Austin's a little bit better than I am. But, I mean, we'll just go with this.
Oh, listen to this guy. Lie like a rug. He's lying like a rug. Oh, my God. You know. Speaking of looks and stuff, you know, the other day, Rachel and I were talking about... Rachel, by the way, is my fiance. We were talking about... Because her and I are expecting in January... And
congratulations, by the way. That's a pretty big moment for you being a dad.
Yeah, Father's Day weekend coming up. I tell you, it was Father's Day weekend for the last Seven years.
Whoa.
Six years.
Yeah.
It's been rough. No, five.
Because the year
five.
That I graduated.
Because 2013 was the first Father's Day, so.
Yeah, because it was 2012 after I graduated.
Yeah, because my dad, he passed away in October of 2012.
Yeah.
And those Father's Days, all after that, was so rough, so awful. I hated Father's Day. Never looked forward to the weekend. You know, I never really told anybody else Happy Father's Day because I just always thought it was just absolutely unfair. And it may be childish to some people for somebody to be like that, but you know what? That's just the way I felt.
I mean, it's emotional trauma, though. Like,
yeah.
It's emotionally draining to have a parent pass and then constantly have to go through the same, like, day over and over and over every year. And it's like, and I feel the same way, too, because my grandmother passed on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that day makes it a little bit even more taxing. Because not only her death's on that day, but I'm also thinking about, like, the guys that I served with that passed doing what they did and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And my mom's dad and previous, like, family members and stuff.
And Memorial Day weekend is supposed to be, like, a weekend to get your summer kicked off. And remember
and
those...
People think it's partying and drinking beer.
And also remember those who, you know, who... gave us the opportunity to do that, get our summer started.
Yeah, and that's why I don't necessarily particularly barbecue or anything that day. I mean, I'll go to one, but it's not necessarily just enjoying a beer with a hamburger because you're with everybody else. It's mostly just being like, okay, I appreciate what these people did. I appreciate that I get the ability to podcast for everybody else. I appreciate the ability to go home and get what little sleep that we do get. And be able to allow, like, Gracie and, like her friends be able to go to school without having the fear of someone coming into their school and blowing them up.
Right.
Like, that's kind of, like, that thing that I get. And I see you sit at home and you kind of ponder on those thoughts, like, every so often. Like, just imagine what it would be like if we weren't the United States of America. Or, like, we weren't a power... country in the world. Like, imagine if we were like like South Africa or like Nigeria or Egypt or something, where like the culture is completely shifted because
there's not as much freedom.
Yeah, and the freedoms are definitely dumbed down to a point where it's back in the 1700s when men can only own land and men can only vote and men can only do certain things and women are objectified to only wear certain clothing that covers entire parts of their body, like Iraq and Afghanistan.
Like, even their face.
And stuff. And it covers their face up to their nose. Yeah. Like, it's that sort of thing that I appreciate, and I definitely, like, don't take lightly. Because I appreciate everything that I have, and I'm very grateful for everything that I have. Like, I'm grateful that we were born in the United States of America. And then I'm grateful that we have what we do. And I just think some people take that a little bit for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's just, it bothers me to a point, but at the same time, not so much anymore. Because with how everything's going in the government now, and not putting political reference into anything, but with how the government's trending and how everything's progressing, I think things are starting to go back to what they should be like. Where we're appreciative
slowly
of,
getting there.
Yeah. Where we're appreciative of our ancestry and are appreciative of the things that our forefathers and prior military people have done and current military people are doing and where we came from as a country back in 1776 when we adopted the Declaration of Independence on July 4th and said we stuck it to England and we're like, we're not your bitch anymore.
Right.
So.
And it's for some people, you know, they look at, like I said, they look at it like, all right, my summer's kicking off. I'm ready to go and just party.
Yeah.
But also keep in the back of your mind, like, okay, this is what this day is actually for. It's almost like, you know, people with Christmas and stuff. But again, you know, don't want to further elaborate on that too much there, but
yeah.
But you know, I mean, like I was saying, like Father's Day is just, it's tough. Memorial Day weekend's tough for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, but up until like last year, you know, Father's Day has had a little bit of a different, you know, trend for me. So it's definitely a day where I can now, you know, appreciate it. I guess appreciate it more and look at it from a different perspective because I'm put into that father role perspective. So it makes it easier to enjoy the day, and I just, you know, making my dad proud and that stuff.
And you've had time to heal in the process along those years, is because it gets easier and easier every year to get to move, not necessarily to move like move on, but it's to not think of them being gone. It's more along the lines of thinking of them when they were still around,
right?
And appreciating what they did then.
The one thing I was getting at was our looks and stuff. And Rachel and I were talking about the other day about our upcoming child. And she's like, you know, I really, really hope it gets your eyes. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, forget about everything else.
Just your eyeballs.
Just my eyes. You just want my eyeballs. And I'm like, but remember, brown is dominant.
Yeah.
So she.
And she's got brown eyes, if I'm not mistaken.
She does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, I think brown eyes will conquer blue eyes.
And I mean, and plus your daughter drew a picture of what the baby Austin would look like.
It's going to come out with a goatee and a mustache.
Which I hope it does. I really, really would hope it does.
It kind of reminds me of that movie, Meet the Spartans.
Yes. When
baby Leonidas pops out and comes out with abs. And I'm pretty sure it comes out with like a goatee or something.
It's a full man like beard and he's goatee just like, and everything.
Ow!
Yep.
That's literally like the exact sound effect he makes.
He's gonna come out and like rip a fart. It's the first thing he does is rips a fart. And you're like, yeah, this is Austin's kid.
But you know, I'm so excited. Like I just, it hasn't like sunk in completely yet, but it definitely hit me.
Give it about month 8, month 9.
It definitely hit me when I got to see the first ultrasound. That really hit me. I was sitting there, and as they brought the baby up on the picture or on the screen, it was there.
You kind of pissed your pants a little bit, don't you?
Well, no.
Well, there was
that feeling, like that feeling, like something was just poured on you, like water was just poured on you. That was the feeling I got. Cold chills running all the way from the top of my head all the way down to my toes. And I'm sitting there looking at the screen. I'm like, I got that feeling. And then all of a sudden the baby started moving. And that's when I lost it. I'm just like, oh God. Sitting there just trying to hide my face. I'm in the back of the corner. The nurse is on the other side of Rachel. She's in the middle on the bed. And I'm sitting there just like trying to hold my tears, like trying to hide my tears. I'm like, don't look at me. Please, please don't look at me.
Don't look at me. I'm ugly.
Yeah, it was great. That was the greatest day of my life. And yeah, I'm super excited, man. I really can't wait till the baby's here. And good Lord, man, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be interesting.
I can't wait till we're doing the podcast. And then I'm gonna be like, Blake, I want you to do most of the talking because I'm tired.
Oh yeah, I mean it's gonna be stressful.
But you know I tell you, when you're thrown into like a parenting role, things definitely change a little bit differently.
Yeah,
by all means.
Oh, for sure.
So,
because you definitely have to change your mannerisms, your speech patterns. You definitely
try not to teach a penis.
Brings up a funny point. Which brings up a great point. And if your parents are like newborns or like 4 year olds. Don't do what I did and accidentally play the penis game when you're in the car from Pittsburgh and let your girlfriend's 4-year-old say it, because I definitely made a boo-boo. Yeah, Alex and I were playing the penis game while we were driving from Pittsburgh and didn't think anything of it, didn't think he was going to repeat it. Well, I should have rethought that.
Because yeah, Alex was probably, she was probably sitting there like, oh Lord.
Well, the funny thing was, like, we were playing it back and forth, and we didn't think anything of it. And we he had been, like, quiet for, like, the last, like, 20 minutes. We didn't think he was awake. Well, sure enough, about 5 seconds later, he goes, penis. And I'm like, oh no, what did we do? And I'm like, now it's my fault because I got to say penis now.
Oh,
which,
God.
Don't repeat if you're under the age of 10. Don't say that ever. Like, do not say that word ever until you're, like, 40. Yeah. Don't say that word.
Yeah, because if you go to listen to this podcast, it does show explicit content. So just be mindful.
Mindful.
The and word if, penis is explicit.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're underage and you still click it, you're a bad person. You're just a bad person.
No.
Go back to school, read some books, learn some fucking manners.
Yeah. Do your job as a kid.
Stay in school. Don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. Okay.
Drugs are bad. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to let you guys... We're going to take a quick break. Let you guys listen to our very first advertisement that we recorded.
Yeah.
It's about that time now. And when we come back, we'll jump into a little bit of other stuff. Just before we start recording this, Anthony Davis trade came through.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that.
And then your New York Yankees picked somebody up, too.
Yes. So it's going to be exciting to see how this all plays out. We haven't really heard a whole lot about NFL news, but I'm sure we can find maybe something to talk about. We'll touch on all the sports. We'll touch on E3. We'll touch on
anything.
Because that's what this podcast is about.
Yes.
We'll be right back, guys. All right, so you guys got to hear our very first advertisement
after take 8.
Yes, that was the 8th take, as Blake said, the eighth take version.
Yep. After you stumbled on distribute and listenership,
and Blake just turned his head and forgot the words that he was saying.
Yep.
You know what though? It turned out well.
Yeah. I looked right at the screen and completely just went dumb for about 2 seconds. I'm like, and I messed up.
But that ad is one of the cool parts about Anchor. You can make that little bit of money with no, as I did not stumble on that last time, was minimum listenership.
Yeah, there you go. Minimum listenership.
So let's turn a little bit to sports real quick.
Some serious talk going on.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, here
some
we go.
Some serious shit.
Serious shit.
Some serious stuff. Let's hear it now, boys. Okay.
The Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans probably just made
the worst fucking trade.
Well, this was the first domino to fall in the highly anticipated NBA offseason.
Well, the most anticipated, but never should have happened, is my thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, going into this, like, this, mind you, this trade has failed twice already. Because the Pelicans were wanting way too much for Anthony Davis to begin with. But going into this trade, you willingly gave away 3 first-round picks, mind you, which the NBA draft is Thursday, like you said.
Yeah, the 20th.
The 20th. You're giving away your 4th pick in this draft and then 2 first-rounders next year, or 1 next year in the following year. That's potentially 3 guys that could give you some sort of stability. And then not on top of that, but you trade away 3 of your younger, more healthy players. Like,
I'm just sitting here reading this. This, according to this headline in this news, or this report on this trade, the Anthony Davis deal solidifies Lakers' favorite status in Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because if you look at it this way, the Pelicans really haven't even made a push with Anthony Davis on the team to begin with. Okay, maybe when he was in his, like, earlier years, like, is what? He's been in the NBA, what, 6 years?
Who is it?
Anthony Davis.
I believe 6.
He's been in there for 6 years, and they've made the playoffs 4 of the 6 times, I think.
Pelicans?
Yeah. Or they made 4 of the 6 playoffs, or 5, 6 of the, all 6. I don't exactly recall. But they have, even with Anthony Davis, they haven't done anything. If anything, get past the first round of the playoffs.
I don't know if they've made the playoffs that many times. Let me check here. The New Orleans Pelicans, their arena, our stadium is called the Smoothie King Center. I know.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that. Let me see.
It's, I don't know, because, like, it almost, because Anthony Davis, like, his production's high. It's high, like, his value's good. But the fact that the way the contract was laid out, you're sending away potentially 6 young guys for a guy who's been in the league for 6 years, for 1. For 2, he's only signing a 1-year deal and then going into free agency after that.
He has
Like, it doesn't make sense to me in my book.
He's played three games in the Staples Center.
Like, against L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how many, like, playoff appearances he's had. Like, the team's had in the last six, is what I'm saying.
I'm trying to look that up here.
I don't know. But, I mean, and then you got to think, too, Zion Williams from Duke's coming out. And
he's been in the league 7 years.
7 years, okay. So of those 7 years, I think they've only made it six times. I think six or five or six, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if they've even made it that many times.
Because I don't know, because they would have been the first round and they would have gotten bounced in the first round every right. time. Because anytime they would, it would be against like Golden State or the Houston Rockets or the Milwaukee Bucks at that point, because friggin' Giannis Antetokounmpo is a fucking monster.
They have...
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm almost pretty sure that this last 7 years they've made it five.
Because Alvin times. Gentry is the coach. He's been the coach since 2015.
Yeah, which has only been 4 years.
And they've only been in existence since 2002. They have been in the playoffs... I said seven, right? Three.
He's been in the league 7 years.
Six, seven. So, since Anthony Davis came to the team, they've been in the playoffs twice.
Really?
2014 to 2015, they lost in the first round to the Warriors 4-0. 2017, 2018, they won in the first round against the Trailblazers 4-0, but they lost in the conference semifinals to the Warriors 4-1.
Yeah, okay. So I was right on them losing to the Warriors both yes. times. But only twice?
Yeah, only twice. Only twice. And I believe...
Here's my thing. Why don't these general managers and, like, these athletic directors look at this when they trade for people or try to, like, pick people up?
This past season, they had the third highest losses. Like, the amount of losses.
The third most losses in the league.
In their existence.
Oh.
Because they had 49... Back in 2015, they had 52. Back in 2012, 2013, they had 55.
And how many games are in a regular season?
And then back in 2004 to 2005, they had 64 losses. And there is 82 games. 82 games. I'm thinking baseball. Baseball, they have 162.
So out of 80 games, you had the fourth highest. Wait, so how many did they win this year?
Well... They won 33 and lost 49.
So they won 33 and lost 49. That's still a bad ratio.
Well, the Cavaliers did worse this year.
Well, the Cavaliers didn't have LBJ, for crying out loud. Yeah. Who did they have? So, who was the best player? Freaking
their rookie. Who was it?
I don't even know.
He did really, really strong. I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah, because then he hadn't anybody around him to do anything. What did they get? Isaiah Thomas back and have him start crap again?
I tell you,
please.
But
that's like almost saying the Cleveland Browns are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Well, like you said, the Lakers paid a steep price
for LBJ.
Yeah,
like ridiculous. I mean, granted,
Kevin Love. They have Kevin Love.
Ooh. Kevin Love, Brokeback Love.
They also have Colin Sexton. That's his name.
Okay. I still can never get over that last name.
And Jordan Clarkson.
As childish as that is, I cannot get over the last name Sexton. Like, who did you piss off in your lifetime to get the last name Sexton? How much sex do you have? A ton. Like, how does that, like, I mean,
Jesus Christ,
it's like a good punchline to a joke, but I mean, like, hey, Tony Sexton, I feel bad for you.
Lakers paid a steep price to partner Davis with LeBron James, sending Lonzo Ball,
which fuck Lonzo Ball,
Brandon Ingram,
that hurts,
Josh Hart, and the picks, including a number 4 overall selection in this Thursday's NBA draft to the Pelicans. But I guess I'm
throwing my hands up on that option.
On this report from ESPN from Adrian Wojnarowski, I can never pronounce that guy's last name. the Lakers were able to hold on to Kyle Kuzma in the trade.
That's at least a little bit, makes me feel a little bit better.
But this trade, though, it cannot be finalized until July 6th, but, you know, it is what it is. So, like I said, this is like the first domino to, I think, the fall. And this NBA offseason is highly anticipated because there's so much going on, including Kevin Durant's injury that's like completely threw this off.
Which throws in another topic. KD technically is in free agency after the season.
Yes.
Technically.
Yes.
And so is Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson, yeah.
Klay Thompson also is.
But I think there's a report that Klay Thompson is planning on re-signing with the Warriors.
Yeah.
I think he just had
an ACL injury in the last game of the finals.
Yep.
So no one's going to want to pick him up, so he's kind of out of options. And then if KD leaves, where's KD going to end up? My best bet, and this is just me, he's staying far the hell away from the West Coast. I can tell you that right now.
Possibly.
I'm saying, and this is a strong hunch, I have a hunch that for some reason he's going to the fucking New York...
Knicks?
The New York Knicks. That's what I'm thinking. Woo! Because that's where I've heard the last couple weeks is where he's, not from him personally, but from a couple sources that he might be wanting to go to the Knicks.
The general manager of the Golden State Warriors, which is Bob Myers.
It's my uncle. No, I wish.
He said that that the team will continue to pursue both players, Thompson and KD, despite injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you're kind of...
They probably don't have a whole lot of cap space left either.
I can't assume that they do.
No, they probably don't have a
Steph
whole
Curry,
lot.
With Steph Curry, I mean...
And I don't think
Andre... Boogie Cousins only signed for, what, a one-year deal, right?
Yeah.
So
I don't think he's coming back.
I would see him possibly retiring sometime soon.
Yeah, Andre Iguodala's a little old. He's pushing the gray hair era right there. The Silver Fox era. That's where he's going. Gray Bush.
If Steve Kerr's already said that they will offer Cousins a offer or make him an offer
deal.
If he doesn't get a bigger one from somewhere else.
Yeah, but that's if someone doesn't give him a bigger deal.
Right.
That's only if.
Because he had a pretty nice bounce back because he was out for almost a whole entire year before he came back.
Yeah.
But he came back pretty nicely.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr has also mentioned that they want to keep KD, but it's up to what KD wants to do. And then you have the story in Toronto where they just won the NBA championship and you got Kawhi Leonard.
In a surprising one, not to mention.
Who's ready to leave. What, surprising championship?
Kawhi Leonard in his first season with the Toronto Raptors, and they go in and go up 3-1 in a series and then beat them 4-2.
Yeah, back when he was playing for San Antonio, won that championship, he spoiled the Miami three-peat. And then this year he spoiled Golden State's chance at another title.
And now it's time for the NFL to rain down on us and get rid of the fucking New England Patriots.
I don't know, man. I think as long as Tom Brady...
I respect him as a football player, but goddamn, I wish he never would have been a football player.
Tom Brady, as long as Tom Brady's around, I think the Patriots are going to continue to win. As much as I hate to admit that,
recording practices and deflating balls and cheating as a normal... Or Robert Kraft going to a... Participating in a fucking rub and tug. Rub and tug. Next thing you know, they're going to come up with a football play in the Super... If they go to the Super
Rub and Tug.
The rub and tug. Tom Brady gets the ball from the center, rubs the ball, and then tugs it back into his body.
And Robert Kraft stands up like... Just sitting there.
He goes, good job, guys. No, it's Jason Garrett from Dallas. The clapper. Jason Garrett has been dubbed the clapper. And he's not apparently getting an extension either.
He's not.
No. Garrett, they have officially said that after this season is his last one, they haven't given him the option to re-sign.
Do you think that Jerry Jones will pull the plug on him? This year before the season's up?
I don't think before this year because he's still under contract through the 2020 season.
But they could just like pull the plug and say, okay, well, we need to move on and just pay the rest of his contract.
I don't think so. That's my best guess. Is they're doing OTAs and like summer practices in Oxford, I think it is. So I highly doubt it. That's just my best guess, because I don't think they would pull him before practice start, after practice, sorry. But with Prescott potentially getting his new deal, and then Zeke getting his head out of his ass.
By the way, I typed in NFL News, and one of the...
I swear to God. If Zeke's on the headline again...
Wait, no, wait. Wait, just... Let me get this out.
Oh, God.
I typed in NFL News on Google, and one of the top... The second top story, OJ joins Twitter. In a quote, I got a little getting even to do.
Oh, my God. Fucking OJ, stay home and just, like... God! Just stay home and, like, practice your glove not fitting skills. Like, come on, dude.
OJ Simpson is on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen.
And he's out of prison.
Yeah, and he's out of prison, and he's still trying to fit that. He's still admiring how that glove didn't fit.
He's still amazed of how it didn't fit.
Yes,
like I bet you anything in that courtroom when he went to put it on, he's like, man. "Oh shit, this is gonna get me. This is gonna get me." And he put it on, and it wouldn't fit, quote unquote. And he probably shit a fucking brick.
So ESPN just posted this article, the surprise offseason standout for all 32 teams.
Jesus.
We can glance over that here in a minute, but I got to ask you a question about the team that's probably grabbing the eyes of many fans.
I have a feeling of where you're going with this.
Including the team that's in the Northeast Ohio.
Oh, God.
The Cleveland Browns.
They're not the Cleveland Clowns anymore.
They're getting pretty serious.
Let's put this away. They're not Cleveland Clowns anymore. So, I mean,
take that joke, put it in a box, just pack it up a little bit, shove it to the side.
It's dead.
Because they're serious contenders.
Yeah, they're starting to get fucking serious for the first time in a long time. And, I mean, Mayfield's a good quarterback. He did really well for them last year. Like, don't get me wrong. He's still young. But he did a damn good job for a rookie quarterback. Like, you know, don't get me wrong.
At work here about a couple weeks ago, a Browns fan came in, and him and I were talking, and he was telling me, you know, he was really worried that Baker Mayfield was going to be another Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. You got to see how he gets through his sophomore slump, though, with the second year being in.
True.
You got to see how he reacts, because now they have tape on him. And I think we've mentioned this and discussed this before. Like, when these rookie quarterbacks come in and you immediately throw them into the fire of starting a team or like playing, like starting as quarterback for an off, like a team or whatever, that of course no one's going to know anything about them. And of course nobody's going to understand like what their patterns of who their favorite target is.
Because
like,
college ball is different than
because college ball is different. And you can look like, I think it's the NFL. You're allowed to look back at college footage, mm-hmm. but it doesn't give you any sort of insight of how their mannerisms and how, like, who they're targeting is going to be primarily.
Very rarely you can have a player that you can do that with.
Yeah.
Very, very,
very
rarely.
But my thing is the instance for Dak Prescott when he first came in, Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel when he first came in.
I think Dak Prescott was a very good example.
Baker Mayfield and... Who's the other one that was like just fresh out? James Winston.
Yeah.
When they all started in their very first year, like they actually started as the leader of that offense, nobody had any idea what they did. Nobody had any clue. And of course their stats reflected it. They completed like 65% of their passes. They had like over like this X amount of yards in a season, like their numbers were phenomenal. You cannot, and this is my big thing, is you cannot judge a quarterback until after he gets out of his second year. Because that second year is when they start figuring out who you target, who you throw to.
Well, I like who what you said. Look at. I like what you said. Because now they have tape on them. Now they have the evidence that they need to study these quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're on record now. And that's where people are gonna start realizing, okay, he at on this play, he always likes to go to his right, or he always likes to go to his left.
The crosshairs are on you now.
Yes. So if Mayfield can not necessarily change how he reacts to certain things, but adjust how he moves, is what's going to be the big difference between them having a successful season and a bad season, is changing up who he throws to the most and divvying up those passes and electing to run the ball if there's nothing there. If there's nothing there, throw it away. If there's nothing there and you can't throw it away and you're in the pocket, take off. That's what's going to be the telltale of this Browns season.
Is this a fair assessment to say that the Browns are probably the biggest offseason story to this point?
To this point, yes. Because with them acquiring Odell Beckham was the biggest, God forbid, the biggest, like, trade, like, blindside that anybody else saw. Like, you think the Anthony Davis Lakers deal was bad. This one is like, what in the hell?
Yeah, it seems like the Giants are just ready to tank.
Yeah, and then their draft pick, like, who the fuck picks a guy that played for Duke, had a worse passer rating and a worse completion percentage? Like, why in the hell, if you're not going to give up on Eli Manning, which they should have, mind you, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Unless they get to the Super Bowl again, play the Patriots, then I'd put Eli Manning in any day.
Yeah, I don't even know if he still has it. Because if you look at Peyton Manning, the last 2 years that he was in the league, he was done.
That last Super Bowl he played in, Super Bowl 50, that was ugly.
That was ugly.
That was the worst Super Bowl I could ever...
Because wasn't that the blowout one?
No, it was... It was so close, but there was like no defense. There was like no offense. I mean, yeah, there was.
Yeah.
It was, and I don't think there was any defense. It was ugly all the way around.
Because the first Super Bowl that he played in for the Broncos, when they played Seattle, I think it was Seattle.
No, they played, the first Super Bowl when they played, they played Seattle.
Denver played Seattle in the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking blowout.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a blowout. Like, it was 40-something to like 13.
And then there was, then they played against the Panthers, and was it
Seattle that was up 40-something to 13, or was it Denver? Because I don't remember.
I don't think Peyton won the Super Bowl that year.
No, because Russell Wilson won it that year, because that was the first year, or the second year that he was in.
Oh, God.
I think, I'm almost positive that's what it was, because the following year they went to the Super Bowl again. And they got beat by New England.
Let's see. So, this upcoming year, Super Bowl
53.
Last year, it was the Patriots and the Rams, which was a terrific Super Bowl.
I didn't even watch it.
I hate to see the Patriots. Well, no. I take that back. It wasn't that great.
I didn't watch it.
Because...
The one before that one.
Yes, that was
terrible.
The one.
Was terrible.
No, it was great. The Eagles and the Patriots. That was great.
Okay, well, because the Eagles won that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good. I mean, fuck the Eagles, but I mean...
But it was a damn good Super Bowl. I mean, like, that defense
Big Dick Nick came in and beat Tom Brady. Big Dick Nick.
And then before that, it was the Patriots and the Falcons.
Oh, God, that game, to this day, still makes me mad.
And that was the very first Super Bowl to go into overtime.
Ever. Yeah. And for a team to come back from, like, what was it, like 28 down?
Yes.
Yeah. The first 28-point comeback in NFL history was in a Super Bowl. Like how absurd is that?
Then the year before that was the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl, which was the Carolina Panthers, who went 15-1 that year. And they played the 12-4 Broncos.
Yeah.
The Broncos won 24-10.
Okay, that one wasn't that bad.
And it was just...
That was Eli Manning. That was Peyton Manning's last year.
That was his very last. I think he was the MVP in that one.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely the MVP in that one. He tore up Carolina's defense. Like, he threw all over him.
Before that was the Patriots and the Seahawks. When Pete Carroll...
Oh, my God. Fucking threw it. Threw it at the 3-yard line.
Then ran with Marshawn Lynch. This was the year you were talking about. Before that. Seahawks, Broncos, 43-8.
That's what it was.
Seahawks.
The Seahawks won it. Yep. That was the year. It was the Seattle Seahawks that put up 40-something.
The Seahawks were up 22-0
at halftime. Yep. I remember that one. That was ridiculous.
That's ugly.
Yeah.
That is ugly.
And they didn't even attempt to, like, go in there and look and be like, did you guys cheat? Like, did you guys fucking, like, steal some play, like play.
Yeah, they had a 36-0 advantage before allowing Denver's first and only score in the final play of the third quarter.
Yeah, and it was Peyton Manning. Yeah. Peyton Manning. Who the hell scores 40-some points against Peyton Manning and he only lets him score 8? Like, when has that ever been a thing? That never happens. That never happened.
And that was his second year as a team starter, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then the year before that was... because that was Russell Wilson's first Super Bowl win. And that was his second year. That was his first year in. That was the first year he played. I'm pretty sure that was the first year Russell Wilson played.
I think it was, because before that was the Hardball Bowl.
Oh, God.
It was the
49ers and Ravens. Yep. And I was in basic training for that one.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch.
That was 13.
Yes, 2013.
Yeah, I remember that one, because they were playing the drill sergeant that was on CQ that night.
Yep, 2013, February 3rd.
Yeah, this drill sergeant that was on CQ duty that night was my like platoon's drill sergeant, like head drill sergeant or whatever. And he was playing it over the loudspeaker at night while we were sitting there in our bunks sleeping.
That's funny.
He played it over. He goes, "Oh, hey, by the way, Private So-and-so, the Ravens are up 14-10. And just kept giving updates throughout the night. And I'm sitting here crying.
Then the last time Eli Manning beat the Patriots was in 2012 when the 9-7 Giants took down the 13-3 Patriots.
Yeah, because wasn't the last time that Eli Manning beat them that first time? Weren't they like 13-0 or something? They were 14. They were 14-0.
The Giants?
No, the Patriots were 14-0 because they hadn't lost in the regular season and they hadn't lost in the playoffs.
Well, 16-0.
16-0, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Giants were like, what was it? I think 11-4.
It would have been 11-4 if they had 11 wins.
12-4.
12, yeah, it'd been 12-4. 11-5.
I think it was 11, yeah, 11-5.
Yeah, the Patriots were 16-0. The Giants were 10-6.
10-6. And came in and beat them. Like, what the fuck?
Because the score was 7-3,
and I still think to this day that helmet catch that what was his name? I didn't want to say it was like Tyreek something.
David Tyree.
Yeah. I still think that catch was incomplete. I still think that was an incomplete catch.
To this day,
I still think it was, because I remember watching that on TV and I'm like, "There's no way that's a catch," because clearly the ball was on his head for one. And the ball hit the ground and it moved. But back then, they didn't know what a catch was either. So, I mean, God forbid you could catch it in your fucking back pocket and it would have been a catch.
Plaxico Burress, man.
Oh, God.
Sitting there reading about him. And then
he turns around and shoots himself in the leg. Shot himself in the fucking leg. Like, who does that? Like, who does that?
He caught the game-winning catch of that Super Bowl. You know what? I would still say my favorite Super Bowl, even though...
I honestly cannot tell you my favorite Super Bowl. Like, I really, really don't have one.
I think mine would be the...
The Pittsburgh Steelers fucking Arizona Cardinals.
That was mine.
That was a good one. And I still honestly believe...
Super Bowl 43.
Yeah, that game should have... That Arizona should have won that game. Yeah.
San Antonio Holmes made a ridiculous catch.
And he, of course, was from the Ohio State University. Yes. Go fucking figure, because goddamn, we give... IO, by the way. I almost couldn't fucking think for a second there. My brain was... Dude! IO, what?
What?
But no, if San Antonio Holmes did not make that catch, even get barely a toe touch on both feet on that one, game's over. It was because it was his time expired, wasn't it?
It was late. It was late.
It was way late. It wasn't. It was like a minute or something left.
35 seconds left.
And then that's when, what's his name? Because
the Steelers marched, they went down the field, they went 78 yards on that last drive.
Can't remember don't tell me the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, because I know who it was and I can't remember his name. Was it, Warner, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Because he went to the Rams after that. Or he came from the Rams or went to the Rams.
He came from the Rams.
Yeah. And then when
after this, that's when they, it was like a couple years after this, they signed Carson Palmer.
And then sure enough, Carson Palmer blew ass. Yes. And then went to Oakland. Yes, he did. And then sucked ass in Oakland. Whatever happened to Carson Palmer?
I think he just trickled out of the league.
I think he died. Or shot himself in the leg.
I think he fully went and said the glove didn't fit.
Or the pass was incomplete. Yeah, and he said, fuck it, I'm just going to go home.
And he retired from the league.
Jesus.
Yeah. 15 years he played.
15 years? 15 years. Man, that boy never won a national championship. Got him. This is not college, Blake. Never won a Super Bowl. And he retired 15 years.
Yeah, he's only 39 years old, too.
Jesus. Well, you got to think, though, too, quarterbacks don't last very long in the league anymore.
Nah.
Because of, like, concussions and...
You know, and it's funny...
Broken legs, like, freaking, what's his name, Joe Theismann or whatever his name was?
Theismann, yeah. That was Theismann. It's not funny, but...
It's not.
Well, no. But... at work, I get parents coming in, they say that they don't want their kids playing football.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like... It just blows my mind just how much football has really become like a big turnoff for parents.
Yeah.
When it comes to their kids playing.
And now you see why rugby isn't played in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you wear nothing.
And we'll jump from football. Oh, well.
Because we were NBA football and now.
A couple other like headlines was Pat Bowlen died. He's the owner of the Broncos.
Did he really?
Yes. Also, there's Ollie.
Meow.
The Browns, of course. Antonio Brown making all of his noise. Left Pittsburgh. Now he's going to Oakland.
Crybaby bitch.
Yeah. John Gruden's, I think he's built
up. If Antonio Brown ever listens to this, which I God forbid, I hope he does. You're a bitch.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, you sit there and you make all that money. You're sitting there and complain. Like, really?
Yeah. Like, you're making all this fucking money to catch balls. Freaking hookers do that. Like, come on, dude.
I remember.
Hookers do it for less. You're kidding me.
And they enjoy their jobs.
And they really enjoy it. Like, really enjoy it.
I remember the... there was this article I read. I don't know how true it was. Because you can't believe anything that's on the internet.
But it's Antonio Brown, though.
The reason why Big Ben wanted to stay around was to try to give Antonio Brown a Super Bowl.
Or he could rape another woman.
That was... Yeah, well, there was that. And that was before the Super Bowl started.
Yeah.
So, or before the season started.
Yep.
So he wanted to give Antonio Brown a Super Bowl. And then all this drama went down. And
yep.
Steelers, and then he started, Steelers lost Le'Veon Bell.
And he started shit with... what was his name? Was it James Conner that he started shit with?
Probably. Yeah. Which James Conner had a phenomenal year.
Yeah, it was James Conner that he started shit with.
Like, he was like...
And he's like, dude, I did nothing but defend you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and that's where the bitch comment comes in.
Yeah. Well,
because Antonio Brown is a bitch.
But don't worry, I think the Steelers got Juju Smith-Schuster who's going
to... That was who it was. It was Juju Smith-Schuster that he was talking shit to.
And Juju's going to... He's going to prove he's going to be a great asset.
And they paid him a good bit, too.
Yep.
Like, they paid him good.
Rachel's one of Rachel's sisters. She's a Steelers fan. She was telling me that... She was telling me that Juju, I guess, had shown up to... He rode a bike to practice. And they asked him, well, you don't have a car? He's like, no, I don't have enough money yet to afford one. So his teammates bought him a car. Everybody in the Steelers bought him a car to drive to practice, which I thought was kind of cool. So
yeah, I mean, that's just kind of
being... How true it is, I'm not 100% sure, but I could see it being true, and it's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like Zeke Elliott for his first year, his first contract, he bought his parents a house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, because, I mean, I think it was, what is it, J.J. Watt... What is it? He sent like millions of dollars to
JJ Watt has done some incredible, like,
what was it? I can't remember what it was that he sent a bunch of money to in relief for. I can't remember what it was.
The hurricane.
Yeah.
The hurricane that was like Wilma or something that hit like Texas and stuff. Yeah.
That's what he sent. He sent like a lot of money.
Yeah. He was like, he just coughed up a lot.
It was like 14, or I'm almost positive that it was like $14 million or something.
And I think J.J. Watt, I think he just got, like, some kind of award or something.
Yeah, he won the award. No, because... No, he won the award for... fuck, I can't remember what award that is, but Ryan Shazier got like the another award this year too. Like most influential person of the year.
Now Ryan Shazier, man, his story is just unbelievable.
He's a fucking, like, that's the best story that has come out of the NFL in years.
Yeah.
Like, that is the best, like, showing of character in years.
And Ryan Shazier?
Yes.
Former Buckeye.
Yes. And it's always former Buckeyes. Like, yep. And don't get us wrong. We're diehard Buckeye fans here.
Yes.
And we praise and, like, we
worship at their feet.
We worship at Buckeye Nation's feet. Because, God forbid, if anybody else, any other team wants to talk shit, we'll come in there and thump them. But, I mean,
it happens.
Our players have always been the most upstanding and most influential people in the NFL in recent year. Like Michael Thomas, Eli Apple's a little punk. But
by the way, it was Hurricane Harvey.
That was what it was.
He raised over $37 million.
Yeah, that's
right. 100,000 of which he personally donated.
100,000, yeah, that's what he did, yeah. Yeah, yep.
His initial goal of that whole thing was 200,000.
And he hit $37
million.
Yeah. Jesus.
Damn. This thing right here gives me cold chills when I read this. That Santa Fe high school shooting last May.
He did something with that too, didn't he?
He offered to pay for the funerals of the dead.
I saw that. Yeah,
left 8 students, 2 teachers dead.
And he paid. He actually did pay for them, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That is just freaking incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy. Purdue University, I think, paid for coupling off of the shooting. Right. Paid for that one kid's funeral, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, the one, yeah.
Yeah, the kid that did the broadcasting stuff for Purdue and went to school there, and he died from, he was a form of cancer. It was like leukemia.
Yeah, he was the one that went and watched Purdue beat Ohio State.
Not beat Ohio State, fucking whipped their ass.
I was trying to put it lightly.
Oh, no, I'm not, I'm blunt. Whoop their ass. Like, literally, Purdue went to Ohio State's bus and started that bitch at the first quarter and said, you might want to leave now. Like, that kid, like, I'm telling you what, like, in college football, in the last 10 years, that was probably the biggest story. Because, I mean, stuff like that, like, kids fighting illnesses and stuff like that, that's bigger than football. Like,
it is.
God forbid, people are going to sit there and be like, well, it's only because this kid had cancer that they won. And I'm like, okay, you can think of it that way, but at the same time, you got to look at it from the bigger picture. Like, this kid has fucking cancer. Yeah. Like, one way or the other. This kid's going to fucking die.
And in comparison to Purdue's football team, I'm not going to say here, I don't say this to bash Purdue's football team and program, but Ohio State's football program compared to Purdue's
is two different
David
levels.
Versus Goliath.
Yeah.
And then when this kid sees Purdue,
it's like fighting a 5-year-old.
Take down Ohio State and run them over 500 times. Like he got to see it. It was a big deal.
If you look at the bigger picture again, is it because Purdue's team was that? Because, okay, this is what I guess I'm trying to convey. Was it because Purdue had the chip on their shoulder, or was it because that Ohio State did what they did the year before and took a team too lightly? Because I'm pretty sure the year before that, they lost to Iowa in Iowa City 50-something to 10 or 50-something to 20.
Which all but took our bid out of the playoffs.
Like it fucked us.
Yeah, that was like the only thing that really stopped us.
Yeah, just like last year, that Purdue game fucked us.
Yeah.
In which it was only Ohio State's fault because they took a team too light.
Yeah, because Ohio State shouldn't have done that. And then
a year before, was it a year or two before that, when we played Michigan State in Columbus, and Meyer only gave Zeke the ball like twice in the second half, and we lost on a late field goal at like the 47 or something. Yeah. And then that's when that Zeke went in the locker room and said that he was going to the NFL. Yep. So it was a long time coming that, like, that Michigan State game was just the beginning of us taking teams too lightly. And then, of course, Michigan State went to the playoff that year, got thumped by Alabama. Thumped. Like ass-whooped. And then the following year after that, we lost to Iowa. And then the following year after that, we lost to Purdue by 38.
The schedule this year for Ohio State's going to be interesting.
It's not hard. Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's a little interesting.
Yeah. The team, I think, in the Big Ten that has the hardest schedule, I think, is... I almost want to say it's... what is it? It's either... I think it's Minnesota, I think.
Minnesota.
I think because they have to
now,
play...
Now, the Minnesota game last year really, really kept me on my... Kept me on my toes.
Well, I was Maryland last year.
Or was it Maryland?
It was Maryland that went to overtime and we won by a single fucking point.
Yeah.
No, mind you, they scored the touchdown to almost go up or to like be down by two. Went for the two point conversion and missed it.
Yeah. I remember watching.
And the guy was wide open.
I remember watching the game. And as soon as he missed that, he dropped right to his knees, covered his head, and he knew it was done.
The guy was wide open. He literally, all he had to do was pitch the ball to him and the game was over.
Well, I cannot wait till college football, baseball, and college football season and hockey season.
College football is my bread and butter.
Yeah, college football. I'm telling you when it rolls around.
I watch a whole lot of baseball, but college football is where I'm set.
Baseball, then college football, then NASCAR, and then hockey. Like then they're all really, really close together. Those are my favorite seasons of the year.
Shit, we went to an Ohio State game and got drunk up in the sea deck and
in
the middle of the sun, got sunburnt.
Oh, God. And we sat behind somebody wearing a Johnny Manziel jersey.
Yep.
Made good friends.
Number two on the field, number one at the party.
Yeah.
To this day, thought that was fucking hilarious.
I have no idea where that came from.
You were drunk.
Yeah. Shifting gears to baseball.
That's your lane on that one.
The Yankees. Just traded for Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah.
36-year-old. But in 65 games this year, he has 21 home runs. He is leading the American League in home runs.
Yep. But for Cleveland in that playoff or that pennant push that they had 2 years ago, I think it was, he didn't do a whole lot.
No. And he's coming from Seattle, which Seattle has been. Because
he went from the Indians to the Mariners, I think.
Let me see.
I'm almost pretty sure that he played for the Indians a couple years ago.
The Yankees, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did play for the Indians. He wasn't too bad, but I don't see where he's going to go into the Yankees lineup, though. Because the only thing I can see is he's going to be a rotation for the designated hitter spot. Because it's included Luke Voit, Gary Sanchez, Clint Frazier, and other players who need the days off. And then we got Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton coming back in a matter of days before they go to London to play against the Red Sox.
And that's a rematch of
the ALDS last year.
Yeah.
And the Yankees,
where the Red Sox the Yankees.
Yeah. But you know what? The Yankees are doing a great job in beating the Red Sox this year. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't watch baseball, so I don't really.
But the thing with the Yankees is, as a Yankees fan, it has been absolutely frustrating yet exciting because all these young kids are coming up and beating the league. But as of late, we're not really doing too hot because we've lost to the White Sox several times. But so yeah, I just wanted to touch on that as well.
Yeah.
Doing this podcast is it's gonna be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be a lot.
There was some other stuff that we had brought up, and I'm trying to think of what
E3 was something.
Something that really piqued my interest for E3, other than Kojima's Death Stranding that got. A couple things. Cyberpunk 2077 got a release date finally.
Yes.
Finally.
See, I've never really looked at
it's
Cyberpunk.
It's supposed to release
too much.
In August, I think, was what they said. I'm pretty sure it was August, was what I heard.
Sony wasn't a part of it this year,
which was a surprise to me. And because Xbox's CEO made a comment, they're like, is this not E3 without Sony and all that?
Yeah, Microsoft was just like, okay, this is really weird. Which, not so long ago, Sony and Microsoft joined forces and are bringing what is it?
Only because Google Stadia came out.
Yeah.
That was what my other thing. What is your take on this Google Stadia system? What, like, because it's based off of,
if I had to sum it up,
cloud down, like, live streaming, not live stream, but like, what do you call it? Fuck, I can't remember that my words aren't working.
Is it like the play? It's like the PlayStation Now, right?
Yeah, you just live, like, it's like live streaming games straight to your console. You pay the amount to play it.
I've been the person that's had high speed internet, and I'm now the person who has,
because you have to
very
have
very
fucking,
slow speed internet.
You have to have a fast ass internet.
Even with the Suddenlink internet that I had, Suddenlink has its flaws. You ask anybody who has it.
Sucks.
And but the thing is the, like you, like you said, you got to have superb internet to do this.
It's what do they say? You have to have like,
I think,
400 megabit internet or something, yeah, like that. It's 400 down or 40. It's like 40 down, 40 up.
You're not going to get that in most parts of the country.
400 down, 40 up.
You're not going to get that in most parts of the country.
Well, because the internet that we have at the house is the I think it's the second fastest internet that we've got. You almost have to have a gig internet to stream these games. To keep it in pristine condition, like pristine graphics,
to play it without it hiccups,
clipping,
yeah,
like freaking Minecraft clipping.
What I think of it is questionable. I think it's okay.
Yeah,
but you get people who can't afford the big fast internet. That's gonna be the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, and like, my biggest issue is it's another thing that Google should not be putting their nose into.
No.
Because
they've already got, like, the streaming stuff
Google's
down.
Google's got their nose into way too much shit, just like Disney's putting their nose into way too much shit.
And the thing is, Microsoft and Sony is only getting better. They got Project Scorpion, or Scorpio,
Project,
or whatever.
And then Project Scarlet.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Project Scarlet's
Xbox.
And then
there's just PS5, I think, is just what the Sony
guys. And they said that it's supposed to be effing ridiculous.
Yeah. It's going to be really, really, really crazy.
It's supposed to be like 5K. It's like you have 4K TVs. It's supposed to be already be compatible for the next like generation of TVs. And they're not even out yet.
That's crazy.
And the processors are supposed to be twice the speed of the PS4. It's ridiculous. Like, the shit that they've come up with in Sony is just absurd.
So,
like, why can't they have that for healthcare? Like, shit.
I feel like we're putting a lot of money into video games rather than healthcare, but...
Well, I mean, I'm not complaining, because, I mean, hell.
No.
I'm not complaining one bit. I'd rather put my money into fucking video games than healthcare at this point, because shit, I might as well die tomorrow. Like, screw it.
Adios, amigo.
Oh, you got cancer? Nah, screw it, video games. Because what's the government going to do with the healthcare system? They're just going to bill you and bill you and bill you and bill you.
I know that.
I'd rather pay $100. I'd rather pay $500 or something for a PS5, and pay $59.99 for a video game without tax at $64 something with tax, than go to the hospital because I broke my leg, and have to pay $4,000.
To have
one person read the x-rays, to have one person set the bone, and then have a third person read my levels, my levels and stuff of like what is it, white blood cell count, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and then have the fourth person sit there and jerk me off. Like, I'm not paying that shit.
Yeah, it gets expensive. It really does.
It's ridiculous.
Like, especially like for like my asthma and stuff. It's, yeah.
And then on top of that, like...
Like a discounted inhaler at a discounted price with a RX savings, a prescription savings card, still $261.
Exactly.
The one that actually helps me. It's crazy.
That's even if your medical insurance covers it.
Yeah.
Because the medical insurance that I had, I still had to pay like I had to pay a $200 deductible to go to the ER if I had something wrong with the ER. Yeah, what if I broke my leg and I had to pay like... Five of my bills at the time, and I only had $20. Yeah, they bill you after that, but still, that's $250 I'm in the hole.
Yeah, forget that.
And I still have to pay $50 for a doctor's visit on healthcare. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm all for like free healthcare, But at the same time, that's
a road I'm not going to go down.
Yeah, I'm not down that road either.
I get so frustrated.
Yeah, I don't like going down that road either. But I mean, I understand the outcry for it. But at the same time, it's going to be a bigger pain in the ass later on, while you're reaping the benefits now.
And people talk about, well, how are doctors supposed to get paid? Well, you know what? You know what? How am I supposed to breathe?
Yeah. They're paid that because they've done the schooling. They've done all that stuff.
Yeah, doctors deserve good pay, but at the same time.
Now, if you want to bitch about these NFL players.
These medication companies, they really need to, like, you know, look at some things.
Yeah.
Canada, for example.
Yeah.
Anyways, E3, according to techradar.com, we'll just kind of go over this real quick before we wrap up the first episode here. This is their list of the 15 best E3 2019 video games. Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
Yes, Keanu Reeves is in it. He has like 2 hours worth of dialogue in that fucking game, and I'm excited.
It's been all over my Facebook. He's been like
Keanu Reeves. That was
he's
the
been
biggest,
like God. Like, that was the biggest. He's been like a big role in my Facebook.
Mm-hmm. That was the biggest surprise of that like release was Keanu Reeves being in the game. The biggest surprise.
That must be the reason why I see him on. Yep. because I'm wondering why he's I seen like a thing that like showed like a hand passing over like a torch or whatever.
Yeah.
It showed the hand passing the torch. It's Chuck Norris, and the receiving hand was Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, the Cyberpunk had got kicked back so many different times that they were like, why is it getting kicked back? Why is it getting kicked back? Well, then when they released it at E3, they're like, oh, it's just going to be gameplay or whatever, and they're going to say, oh, the release date's not until 2020. This was what they were waiting for. They just dropped a bomb that Keanu Reeves is in it.
Luigi's Mansion 3,
which has Gooigi.
Gooigi.
Shit.
I thought that was funny. I got a little bit of a chuckle out of that. I'm like, Gooigi? I mean, it's supposed to be aimed, I think, for kids. You know, Nintendo's always been in that family.
Gooigi.
Listen, every time
Hey, Gooigi, why don't you get me a chicken sandwich and go sit back down there to Goo-Ario?
One of the things was he cannot be using water because then he just flubbers out. But I heard Luigi's Mansion was a good game.
Luigi's Mansion, the first one was good.
I may try.
The second one was when they tried way too hard and got screwed.
I may try it. Watch Dogs Legion. I was never a fan of Watch Dogs.
Never played Watch Dogs.
The Outer Worlds.
That, I've heard, is supposed to be pretty good.
That game definitely looks pretty decent. It's got roots from...
Borderlands.
No.
No, it's not Borderlands.
Fallout.
Does it really?
I think it really falls from... It's on the same tree as...
I heard it had more of a Borderlands aspect to it.
I guess it could.
I think that's what it was, because it was... I'm pretty sure it was based in, like, the Borderlands-esque type.
The zombie parkour game of Dying Light 2. Every time I see...
Zombie parkour.
Every time I see gameplay of it, it's literally like somebody doing parkour and jumping over things.
Hardcore parkour.
Doom Eternal.
Oh my god. That's one of the games that I'm anticipating the most. Is just because the cliffhanger that got left off in the Doom remake. Like, you go through all this dumb shit, and I don't know if you've played it or plan on playing it.
Nope, I've never played any Doom game.
Because I'm about to spoil the shit out of it. And I don't want to ruin it like your brother did for Endgame, because that, God forbid, rest in peace. But, and at this point, it's not a spoiler anymore for those people that are bitching. It's not a spoiler anymore. You should have seen it by now.
Yeah.
But, at the end of Doom, the first, like, the remake, you are basically going around trying to close the portal to hell. And the person that you were trying to help ends up betraying you in the end. And, like, literally stabs you through the gut and kicks you back into the portal to hell. And then it closes. And the only way to get back is opening it from the other side. So that's Doom guy stuck in hell now. And that was the biggest plot twist to that game. That I've never had in a game in a long time where I've sat there and played it. And then you just get slapped in the face. You're like, no! What?
The closest thing I ever played to that was Minecraft going into the Nether. So... entering another portal, and except I can't go back.
Apples to oranges.
Yeah. The next game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I'm already scared.
Yeah, it's this game. I'm a little worried. Because I'm worried. Battlefront 2 was
just Star Wars games in general
was just a failure. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront 1 I enjoyed. Other than
Lego Star Wars games, other than the Lego Star Wars games, because they're doing the Skywalker saga.
Oh my god, I'm totally freaking getting that.
Buy it, but I've never been a big Lego person with games because I just didn't understand the connection. Or understand the relationship.
There's comedy in it, and I like it.
And I mean, I get the comedy and stuff like that, but they even had Lego Harry Potter, too. Yeah. And I didn't even do that. And I'm a Harry Potter fan for the day until I die.
Yeah.
But I never touched it. I would never touch it.
The trailer for the, if you haven't seen it, for the new Lego Skywalker saga, Star Wars. It shows, at one point it shows Kylo Ren building a snowman on Darth Vader.
And then he lights his lightsaber and it fucking cuts his head off.
Like, yeah. That's pretty great. Yeah,
I've seen it. It was cute and it was comical, but it's just like the Harry Potter video games back in the day. It was just like the superhero video games back in the day, like the Iron Man games and all that kind of stuff.
Old classic Spider-Man.
Like Spider-Man before the new one.
Yes.
Where they were really, really bad.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying. See, this is what scares me.
Like Nintendo 64.
This is what scares me, is like certain games and certain like topics just don't work in video games. And that's one of them.
They've said that the Jedi in this game plays like a Sith, which is... That kind of interests me a little bit. So, keep going here real quick. FIFA 20 was another one.
Mm-hmm.
I think FIFA is ahead with graphics on other games.
I don't play FIFA.
Halo Infinite.
I think it's starting to kind of get to the point where Halo needs to die.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Didn't even hear about that.
Yeah.
Don't even know what that is.
Animal Crossing New Horizons, which has been a game that a lot of people are really, really waiting on.
They've been waiting for a long time for Animal
Crossing. It was supposed to be released this year. But then they said, oh, sorry, we're going to release it next year. I'm like, Nintendo, you're not winning me over here.
Nope. And their E3 announced, like, they're releasing that.
Here's where it really, this is probably the best announcement probably at E3 for Nintendo. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2.
They announced it, but it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah, it's in development right now.
But I also heard that it's supposed to go to the dark roots like it did in Majora's Mask. Is what the rumor is. And that Xant from Twilight Princess may make a comeback.
Which, Legend of Zelda 1 was the very first Zelda game I've ever played in my life. And it was a lot of fun.
See, I've only played... The only games that I played up to... I played a little bit of the Legend of Zelda on your Switch.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. And goddamn.
That game is... It's so much fun. It's so hard. Yeah, it is.
Like,
there's like so much you can do.
In that 10 minutes that I played, I died 3 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played...
I had the same problem.
I played Ocarina of Time and everything after that. I didn't play a lot of the hand... Like the hand console ones. Mm. Like the DS versions. Like Link Between Worlds and that kind of stuff. They're remaking Link's Awakening.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was another one. Super Mario Maker 2 is getting ready to come out. Ew. Super Mario Maker was a pretty big hit on DS and the Wii U.
Because people are lame.
Pokemon Sword, Pokemon Shield. That's a huge game.
They're not putting in all the Pokemon in this one.
I'm ready. I'll throw money down. I'm excited.
I've already heard a lot of rumors that they're not putting every Pokemon in it. Like they were going to. Because the initial plan was that this was going to tie in. I heard, and this is from they were going to tie everything in to this one game and put all the... Yeah, you could finally, in a single game, catch every single one.
One of my coworkers at work said that he felt... I think he heard something like that, too.
Yeah.
But he felt like it couldn't be true because that's a lot of Pokemon. That's like over 800.
But then you think about it, none of the games you've been able to catch all of them.
Right.
The only way that you can catch all of them is you have to buy every single copy. Of different versions.
They have to put, like, the Pokemon Bank or whatever.
Yeah, and then you have to wire them to each other.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, it's coming out on Switch only. I'm pretty excited. I enjoyed the Marvel Alliance games.
There's a Marvel game that's coming out for PS4 and Xbox. I know that.
Yes, the Avengers. A lot of people were upset because they didn't use the MCU likeness, but They would have paid a lot of money for that.
Whatever. It's just picky.
Minecraft Dungeons is a new dungeon crawler with Minecraft twist to it. It looks kind of interesting, kind of. Yeah. But just kind of going through the list here, I think that's really it. I think Square Enix really took the show with
Square Enix.
Yeah, they're the ones that are Scarlet Grace. Then there's another one that's like new Dragon Ball Z game.
Was Dragon Ball.
Kakarot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kakarot. Yes. Yes. I saw that and I about peed because I'm like, yes, yes. And I'm hoping to God because I'm telling you right now, Dragon Ball has had a very bad rap on video games. Xenoverse 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But Dragon Ball FighterZ was probably the best game that they've released in how many years? Ever since Tenkaichi 3.
I'm excited because I actually enjoyed the first two.
Xenoverse.
Yeah.
Xenoverse 1 was fine. Xenoverse 2 was just a little too redundant.
Well, anyways, E3 was all right. I thought Square Enix took the show. Bandai did a really good job. I know like Dead by Daylight's coming out for the Switch, and also the Yu-Gi-Oh game also as well. So, anyways, we're gonna take another quick break. We're gonna wrap up the show here, and then man, I can't wait for next week. So we'll be right back, guys. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening to the very first episode. Blake, I know I had a lot of fun.
This is awesome. This is a blast.
You know, I think this week was a little just dusting off the cobwebs a little
bit.
Just getting things...
open up the shutters, letting everything air out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
A little too much some places, but you never know.
My brother Roy, he'll be joining us here before too long.
At some point.
Probably within the next couple episodes. So we'll have another member.
Another eye. Technically.
Yeah.
Another Austin.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I really, really am excited about this little project we got going on. Our advertisement first ad was recorded. So,
God forbid if we sound terrible, but I mean, it could be worse.
Wherever, however you may be listening, be sure to check out our Facebook page.
Check out the Facebook page. Spotify. Anchor.com. Or anchor.fm.
Anchor.fm is the website.
Yes.
The Anchor app. If you want to create your own podcast, hop on there, check it out.
Google Podcasts it'll be on too.
Yes.
Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
However you may be listening, we thank you.
Yes. Just listen, even if it's 5 minutes, I don't care. Just listen for 5 minutes.
If you guys have a take you guys want us to discuss,
send questions.
Some ideas. Send them
to our
email address.
I say no political stuff because I don't want to get into political stuff.
No,
do not mention political stuff.
No politics.
That's all
no,
I gotta say.
No nonsense.
Because we're not trying to get any sort of. Well, I don't. I'm personally not trying to get any sort of like hate rap.
No,
for talking
I will definitely shut that shit down. No exceptions.
No exceptions. Like, and it's not just because we don't want to get into it. It's just because it's just not a very good topic to discuss.
Yeah. Any more politics is just not something you want to bring out to the public.
Yes.
But
we'll talk about real world events, but not politics.
But be sure to spread the word about our podcast. If you enjoyed it, if you guys want to, you know, give us some critique, email us at what is it?
The
Iden Myers download at gmail.com.
Yeah. And tell your grandma. Grandma might even listen too. She might give you some butterscotch candy too.
That's nice. Or one of those little caramel creams.
Caramel creams. Yes. That's nice.
Alright, so for Herbert the pervert over there, and then
Chris.
Mr. Mackey, okay. We're gonna be back next week, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Happy Father's Day. Okay.
Happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there.
Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Yes.
And we will see you guys next week.
Yep. See ya.